I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's sports time, and Tony Cox is our guide. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai.
So protests over China's human rights record have slowed down the Olympic torch in London, Paris, and yesterday in San Francisco. So there's a chance some countries could boycott. Wouldn't be the first time, would it?
No, it would not. For example, President Carter kept the U.S. out of the 1980s Summer Games in Moscow. Then the Soviets retaliated by refusing to come to L.A. for the Summer Games in 84. As it stands, most of the talk so far is about boycotting the opening ceremony and not the games, which is topic number one for today's Sports Bloggers Roundtable. Here to talk more about the boycott and other sports stories are Dee Will of the blog Sports on My Mind, also Marcus Vandenberg, senior producer and author of BET sports website Play a Hater, and Kevin Figures of AM570Radio.com, Los Angeles, an all sports station. Welcome, fellas.
How you doing, Tony?
Doing great, thank you. Great, great, great. Let's start with this. As I mentioned, the Olympic torch has set off a firestorm because of international furor over what critics see as China's heavy-handed tactics against Tibet. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton are calling for President Bush to boycott the opening ceremony in Beijing. The president has signaled his opposition to a boycott, but whether that changes, we'll have to see. Meanwhile, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says he is not going to the opening ceremony, and on it goes. So, Dee Will, what about the athletes? Traditionally, they are against boycotts, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Generally, most of the athletes, for most of the athletes, the Olympics is the pinnacle of their career. They've trained 4 years for these events, and boycotting would be the last thing on their minds because this is their chance to finally show how good they are as athletes. Also, it's in the Olympic Charter. It's stated in the Olympic Charter that athletes should have no displays of political sentiment at all. So that compounds the issue for them.
Well, for the Americans, Kevin, this was supposed to be the year they redeemed themselves, you know, in basketball after their very poor showing 4 years ago. This is a showcase event. What do you think someone like Kobe Bryant and the rest of the team will do? Will they keep quiet or will they push to go ahead?
I'm pretty sure they'd push to go ahead. You look at the guys, as what Diwa was saying earlier, how these people worked so hard to get here for so long. And Brian Colangelo, when he put the team together, made this a 3-year commitment for all these players. And so they played in the Olympic qualifiers last summer. And I'm sure none of those guys, especially Kobe Bryant and Carmelo Anthony, who are such tough competitors, don't want all that to go for naught. So I'm sure they want to go out and they want to display their talents and bring America basketball back to what it was back when they had the dream team, when they were winning all the championships and blowing people off the floor.
And they haven't done that in a long time, have
they? No, they haven't.
That's for sure. Marcus, let me bring this to you, because do you think that the experience of Mexico City, even though it was 40 years ago, still resonates with black Olympic athletes when it comes to protests? Because John Carlos and Tommy Smith paid a price for their black glove-fisted demonstration on the victory stand. Are times different now, though?
I think times are different now. You're talking about 1968 when the country as a whole was racially charged. And now we're 2008. You know, things aren't great in America, but as a country, you know, as, you know, across the world, I think we have different issues that we're focusing on. Personally, I don't think any athletes are going to make a protest in that sense, mm-hmm. Something to that, you know, that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a sports fan, I would hope that, you know, the protest carry up until August 8th, and then once August 8th rolls around, that we can focus about the events itself. And, you know, when August 24th rolls around and closing ceremonies happen, then we can focus back on the protests.
All right. We'll wait and see what's going to happen. Let's move on. Topic number two. The NCAA Men's Championship wrapped up earlier this week. You guys know the results. How will that affect the NBA draft? I'm going to come with you, D. Will, first, because especially how will it affect those players who have to declare soon whether they are staying or leaving for school? For example, we've got USC's Kevin Mayo, Kansas State's Michael Beasley certain to jump, tournament sensation Stephen Curry from Davidson says he's staying put. The 7-foot twins from Stanford are going. The Lopez brothers, Dante Green from Syracuse is going. UCLA's Kevin Love isn't saying what he's going to do. And there are many more facing this hard decision. What about looking at it this way, D. Will? Who ought to go, in your opinion?
In my estimation, very few players ought to go. Derrick Rose, I feel, is one of the players who can go. O.J. Mayo is physically good enough. Mentally, I'm not really sure. I think there are a few things that he could do with his game to develop. Kevin Love, if he develops physically more, I think he'd be more ready for the NBA being a tweener. Fortunately for NBA players, if they hire an agent, then they must declare for the draft. If they don't hire an agent, then they can bow out before the draft, and that's a good thing. So players can assess their situations, see where GMs might want to pick them, and make a decision based on that. And so that bodes well for a lot of the players.
For a lot of these guys, Kevin, all the changes could make for a drastically different field for next year's March Madness. I think you would agree with that.
Absolutely.
Which college program stands to be impacted the most by who goes or who stays?
I'd definitely say UCLA. If they lose their starting center and their starting point guard, especially a guy as good as Kevin Love, and Darren Collison, who even Ben Howland came out last night and said even if he were to come back, he wouldn't be the starter. Russell Westbrook would. But still, as a senior leader on that team, I can't express enough how important that would be. And Kevin Love, going into the NBA, I don't know sure if he would be ready yet. Just physically, he doesn't really have a lot of physical strength. You know, he's undersized. Like I believe Debo said, he's a tweener. But coming back in a college game, I think another year would help him definitely, and it would definitely help the UCLA program. With Kevin Love, they're another Final Four team next year. Without him, they might not make the Sweet 16.
Well, you know, Marcus, we've got the 19-year-old age rule in the NBA, the one and done for NBA picks now going into its second year, that rule is. Is it changing things very much, do you think?
I think it is. It's changed sort of the makeup of the college game. College basketball is a lot more exciting. Now that players have to at least spend 1 year playing in collegiate ball, some guys actually stay more than 1 year. I would love to see the rule increase to be 20 and older just to get some of these guys back. Could you imagine if O.J. Mayo had to return to USC with Davon Jefferson, if Kevin Love had to return to UCLA with Darren Collison? I think it would just, you know, bring more of a dynamic to college basketball and also help these guys when they're ready for the NBA.
Well, you know, you might be right about that, but it certainly would not help the Miami Heat or the Los Angeles Clippers or the Minnesota Timberwolves who are waiting for these guys to come out so they can sign them. Let's move on to topic number three. This is football. Here's an NFL headline story this week. Players union boss Gene Upshaw is on the firing line. Matt Stover of the Baltimore Ravens is challenging Upshaw for the top spot in the Players Association, with the argument being that Upshaw may be more of a company man, read that, NFL, than a union man. So, D. Will, what kind of support does Stover have?
I think there is a groundswell to oust Gene Upshaw. At the same time, Upshaw is, yes, in some respects, he is definitely a company man. In other respects, he's done great things for the players. And I'm coming to understand that it's a fine balancing act to be the head of the NFLPA. And so whomever is the head of that association is going to have a very, very tough time. And with the collective bargaining agreement talks coming up here soon in the next couple of years, I think it's very important that Upshaw does stay in place.
Now, they're trying to get him out by 2009, Kevin. Right. Can they do that?
I don't think they should do that. Upshaw is the man with experience. He is the one person who has a great understanding of all the issues. Whomever would take his place would be a new person and subject to bullying by the owners.
You know, you took that away from Kevin, D.
Oh, right,
so that's all right. That's okay, though.
That's all right.
Kevin, what do you say about that?
I'm just saying that, I mean, for the best thing, just like I agree with D. Will, that for stability, Upshaw needs to stay in it. Upshaw's already come out and said, I'm not leaving until this labor dispute is over with. And I believe what Stover, his entire angle on this is, like, I'm not trying to necessarily push Upshaw out the door. I'm trying to make sure that us as a union and as players have a representative to follow him up once he does want to retire and leave out, because they know it's going to happen sooner rather than later.
All right. Tell you what, Marcus, I'm going to move on to another topic with you, and I'm going to give you the first shot at it, and it's this. In golf, all eyes are on Augusta and Tiger Woods for the next 4 days, where Tiger is trying to win four major tournaments in the same calendar year. The Masters, step one, of course. We know he can do it. He's won, what, four times, five? But will he do it again this year? That's the question. And the pressure is really on, and some of it comes from Tiger himself, Marcus, who seems to really want this bad.
I think Tiger will do it. Considering if the weather is not a major factor this weekend, I think Tiger, hands down, will walk away with his fifth green jacket. You know, I think a lot of these golfers are just intimidated of him at this point. He's done so well. He's won 9 out of his last 11 tournaments since last year. So I think he's really reached the peak of his game. So
You think he's going to do it? Well, D. Will, if he doesn't do it, let's say, if lightning doesn't strike twice, does that change his quote-unquote standing in the pantheon of golf greats in any way?
No, he's got so long to go before his legacy is written. I don't think that winning or losing this Masters in 2008 makes that much of a difference. And golf is a very odd sport in that anyone can get hot for these 4 days and strike lightning themselves and win the green jacket.
You know, the LA Times today, Kevin, had a front page story about other golfers in the Masters, and it suggested, just as Marcus suggested, that these guys are afraid of going up against Tiger Woods. Do you think they really are?
Absolutely. I would be. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. This is the last guy I want to see in a golf course. He's basically the Michael Jordan of golf. He's the guy, if there's a clutch putt that needs to be made or anything that needs to be done, Tiger Woods is the one guy that you want to do it because you know he'll always come through. That's the last guy I'd want to see in a playoff or any kind of close situation in a golf tournament.
It will be really interesting to see. All right, last topic for the day, guys, is this. NBA MVP. I heard Tommy Heinsohn say on a Celtics broadcast the other day, couldn't believe it, that Kobe Bryant and LeBron James' names shouldn't even be on an MVP list this year, and that it should only be Kevin Garnett and, to his mind, Paul Pierce as well. So here's the question, guys. Kobe Bryant, LA Lakers, LeBron James, Cleveland, Kevin Garnett from Boston, Chris Paul from New Orleans. Everyone has their favorites this season. I'm going to come to all three of you really quickly. Is there anyone who should not be on that list? You first, D. Will.
No, they should all be on there. One addition, Tracy McGrady.
Tracy McGrady, that's interesting. Marcus, what do you say? Anybody should not be on that list?
No, I think they all should be on the list. And if I had a vote, it would go for Kobe Bryant.
Okay, that's good. Kevin, what do you say?
They should all be on the list. I agree. My vote would go for Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. Why Chris Paul over Kobe?
Well, for looking at the talent that both rosters have, and Chris Paul, a guy like Tyson Chandler, who was basically run out of Chicago with pitchforks, he's turned him into an all-star. David West, people were talking about him being a first-round bust into his second year, made him into an all-star. Whereas Kobe Bryant has an established roster with guys like Odom and Gasol, and Bynum, he came through early this season. If you took Chris Paul off of the Hornets roster, they wouldn't be a playoff team this year.
There's the answer, folks. D. Will, thank you very much. Marcus Vandenberg, thank you very much as well. And Kevin Figures, all on our Sports Bloggers Roundtable. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tony.
And that was NPR's Tony Cox.